I guess he says that he's going to marry her because they're all grown now. And then she comes out of the house and then her dad's like, she'll be back. And it's like, did nobody ask you? You be slapping people without permission if you could slap them upside the face when they would probably say no. Nobody wants your opinion. You can't just go around slapping people and then think that you could just give your opinion. Maybe you shouldn't be slapping folks and they would actually listen. Oh my gosh. Good morning, good night, and welcome to the Jamie Grace Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Jamie Grace of 91. I write and produce pop music and a pop culture inspired podcast, which is what you're listening to right now. I have anxiety, Tourette syndrome, OCD, and ADHD, but everything I create is through the lens of finding joy, even when it seems impossible to find. So thanks in advance for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Hey y'all, I wanted to take a quick moment to share with you some info about one of my favorite sponsors of the Jamie Grace Podcast. Y'all, when quarantine first started, I was not very interested in this whole online counseling thing because it made me really anxious. And as someone that has anxiety, I had to figure something out because a lot of things make me anxious. Eventually, I gave it a try and I have to say that it's been very beneficial for me. So I want you guys, if you need to check out Faithful Counseling. Whether you have an anxiety diagnosis or you are dealing with the everyday frustrations of life, I can promise you that you will find it beneficial to talk to a counselor through Faithful Counseling. You can go to faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace to learn more about the very affordable counseling that they have and the four different ways you can communicate with a clinical therapist. And if you'd like, they can incorporate some faith-based things as well into your counseling. Visit faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace. That's faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace. So I first saw The Greatest Showman when it came out in theaters. My husband, Aaron, and I, we were just dating at the time, but we were both and still are both huge musical fans. So we'd heard about it. We were super excited. Well, actually, no, we weren't super excited to go see it. We were like super like... moderate about seeing it. I just remember we were like excited about the fact that we were going on a date, but not necessarily like, oh my goodness, we're going to see The Greatest Showman. Because here's the thing, you might know this about me. I don't know. I can be a little bit of a hipster sometimes. I can get a little bit annoyed. Like if everybody's saying that they like it, I'm like, okay, I need to know what's going on about it just in case it's cool, because it might be. But at the same time, I just kind of struggle when like everybody's like, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. So at this point, it had been in theaters for at least a couple of weeks, and which just in the age of the way our culture worked before 2020 got here, it was usually like, man, like, you know, you can't wait too long to go see something because spoilers and all this kind of stuff. So I tried to go see stuff early, but I was just like, look, I just don't know if like The Greatest Showman's going to be my thing. I was also really super busy in a new relationship, and so I was... we weren't really going out to the movies a lot. We were just like, let's get dinner and sit down and look at each other and chat. So we didn't really go to the movies a lot. But like I said, we were pretty moderately excited because it was like, everybody else is going. But at this point, it was a very just like, I don't know, like we had pretty... just a lack of expectations, really. That I wasn't expecting to love it or hate it. I was just like, well, almost every friend of mine that, you know, does what I do in the context of makes music and stuff like that, they have been singing covers. And I'm like, okay, everybody thinks it's never enough, whatever that's supposed to mean. And there's something about a beard. And I just have to go and look at this movie and just be like, whatever. So we go to see The Greatest Showman. We walk into the theater. I have such a vivid memory because, as you can possibly imagine, me doing a whole podcast episode about this movie, it turned out to be one of my favorites. But we're going into the movie theater. We sit down. We probably get a snack. I don't even remember that part, which is weird. I don't remember the food. What in the movie must have been phenomenal. We sit down, and I'm guessing there were some commercials and stuff. And y'all, the Greatest Show, that introduction song, it started. And Wolverine was like, ladies and gents, this is a movie. And I was like, oh snap, I think I love this. There was something about the production choices that they made, in the intro of that movie or the song as well, but the song starts off the movie and it's just like this, like drum, stump the feet, gang vocal, whoa. And I was just like, oh, is this captivating? I think this is captivating. And from every moment through the rest of the film, I had that thought. I was like, wait, what? Do I love this? Am I being whisked away into an imaginable place? And I was pumped. And I loved The Greatest Showman. And my husband loved The Greatest Showman. And he really enjoyed it from the beginning as well. But I remember very specifically when A Million Dreams started, he was just like, oh my goodness. Which was super cute because, you know, we're like in love and everything. And I mean, at that point, we knew we wanted to get married. We just weren't officially engaged. And I just remember, you know, kind of like seeing this story of like this young kid like wants to be friends with this girl, and then they get older and they get engaged and fall in love and get married, and you know, you're sitting there watching this with your boyfriend, and I was just like, oh my goodness, he gonna put a ring on it, and he did. Boom. So it was fun. It was a great experience watching the movie, and I loved it, he loved it, and to this day is one of our favorite movies ever. I love it so much that I actually did a movie night with my Patreon community. And if you don't know about Patreon, they are the people that make my podcast possible, as well as my music as well. I love Patreon so much. $5 a month and you can sponsor Jamie Grace's music, videos, and podcasts. And if you don't know who Jamie Grace is, I feel like this is a weird part of the podcast for you to just be listening and being like, who's Jamie Grace, right? But maybe that's like way too confident of a thing to say. Patreon, we did a movie night, which is when we hop on Zoom, and I have my mic unmuted, and so I give my full commentary of the movie while we're watching it, and I just talk about all the stuff that I'm just like, yes, and then all the other things where I'm just like, womp. I try to keep the main feed of my podcast as positive as possible, but, you know, the chat stays open, so people put their opinions out there, and I'm gonna let you know if I agree with you or not. So it's really fun. We do movie nights a couple times a year, or like every other month, actually, is how we've been doing it the last few months. Every other month, we have movie night, and then every Wednesday there's a bonus episode of the podcast, which is typically movie recaps of, like, you know, a Cinderella story with Hilary Duff, Spy Kids, Hairspray, A Little Princess. They get to choose which movies I do recaps on. As you guys know, here on the main feed, I only do movie recaps every couple of weeks. So thank you to everybody over at patreon.com/JamieGrace for making the podcast possible, for making my music possible. This coming Monday, you're going to get a brand new cover of a song from The Greatest Showman. So thank you, Patreon. And thank you also to the main feed listeners. If you're listening here, I truly appreciate your support. And I think you're beautiful. So that was, oh my gosh, that was so pretty. I'm so amazing at singing, and I'm so glad that you're here. So let's jump into my recap of The Greatest Showman, shall we? Let's talk about what this movie is about. Now, I know that sometimes when movies are based on a true story or inspired by a true story or inspired by true events or however, what is it, Law and Order, say they're like, this is purely fictional, blah, blah, blah. But then you go on the news and you're like, is it fictional, right? So I know with stories like that, I should, as a reputable and respectable person in the entertainment industry, I should be as accurate as possible. So what I'm going to tell you is that that's not the vibe that we're going for. I'm going to just tell you what I remember from watching this movie 14,000 times. At the same time, I haven't seen it in about 3 weeks. So I'm going to just tell you what I know from the movie. And if I like mess something up, or if it's something like, but that didn't happen in real life, that is between you and your movie review on the internet. So there's a man, and he is a person that, and he, when he's little, he's not a grown man yet. He's a boy person, and he and his dad, they're not rich. They're not. It is established, is he has dirt on his face. It's like he is poor. And they are helping out at these rich people's houses. How do you know they're rich? Because their house is massive. And they go up to this house. And the girl in the house, she is taking etiquette classes. And she is like, I'm a princess. Does she say this? No. But she is learning how to drink tea properly. And she's like, boop, 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 boop. And then the boy, he's looking at her and he's like, oh, she is possibly a future friend. And maybe she's cute. cute. That's what he's thinking. But he knows that, you know, just by standards, by culture, he's not bougie. So he likely does not have a chance with a bougie girl. Am I right? I'm right. Thank you for agreeing with me. But he tries to make her laugh anyway, and he does make her laugh while his dad, who is working for her dad, while they're having a conversation about whatever, I'm not really sure what. He's either doing like plumbing work or construction work or something like that. Or maybe they work in a mine. Maybe they do coal. I don't know what they do. I don't know. That's not important. I mean, sorry. It's important what they do. Their jobs are important. Everyone's important. I love everybody. But watch me get out of this hole by changing the subject. So this kid, he distracts her from her etiquette class. And she's like, because she genuinely thinks it's funny. And I think it's a really sweet moment. But then her daddy is like, oh, no, you zenit, little boy. I'm trying to raise a queen. And he slaps this little boy upside the face. He slapped him in the face. Oh, Lord. He slapped this little boy in the face in front of his daddy. So that doesn't work out too well. So there's at some point he's like not supposed to be going back there or whatever, because I think they're mad. And then he has like put some money in the bank. I don't know. There's something about a train. And then everybody gets mad. I mean, not everybody gets mad. Somebody gets mad. I'm not really sure. Whatever. Moving on. He's not supposed to be going back to that house. At some point he does. I can't remember when, but they fall in love. That's all that matters. There's a song called A Million Dreams, and it's wonderful. In real life, it's sung by a kid named Ziv, who's super cool. But in the movie, it's sung by this kid. And I think they like write while he's I'm killing this. I'm doing such a great job. While she's at summer camp. I don't know where she went. He's singing this song about like every night I lie in bed, basically about how like she's his favorite person ever and he wants to marry her. He has a crush on her, blah, blah, blah. And like she's singing the song with him. And like while the song is going on, you're seeing this like story being told of like he likes her, blah, blah, blah. She's at boarding school or summer camp or purity camp. I don't know where she is. And they are singing these songs. He's singing the song and they're writing letters back and forth. Then they're on a beach. Then he goes back to the house when they're grown and tries to like, I guess he says that he's going to marry her because they're all grown now. And then she comes out of the house and then her dad's like, she'll be back. And it's like, did nobody ask you? You be slapping people without permission if you could slap them upside the face when they would probably say no. Nobody wants your opinion. You can't just go around slapping people and then think that you could just give your opinion. Maybe you shouldn't be slapping folks and they would actually listen. Oh my gosh, don't slap people. It's rude. It is rude to slap somebody in the face unless they deserve it. And I feel like I'm not about to sit here and tell you who does and doesn't deserve to be slapped in the face, but I like that. Why would I bring that up? I don't like violence. I feel like I was literally about to sit here. No, I'm not explaining that to y'all, but that's between you and the Lord. Take that to church. That might be a church on Zoom. You know what I mean? Oh, wow. If you don't know that I have ADHD, I do. So there's that. I'm just at the first song and I'm already at 13 minutes. I don't even remember what the second song is, but eventually they get married and they have a house and they have two kids and they don't have a lot of money, but somehow he is able to get her some ballerina slippers, right? Or is it just like a picture of some slippers? I don't remember. And then there's a reprise of that song with their two daughters, and their daughters are like, every night I lie in bed. It's actually a really cute moment. I literally cried in the theater. I remember that moment. So there's that. And basically he's just like telling his wife, like, look, I know that I didn't really give you the life that I wanted to give you and stuff like that. And she's just like, I don't know if she says this or if it's just obvious, but she's just like, but you gave me these two babies and you give me love. So that is all that really matters. And so they're living a really beautiful, modest life. And he's just like, he's a dreamer. Like he listened to Dream Big and he's like, what? I can do that. So he wants to like do stuff. So he opens up this building or he like buys it or something where it's like all these like taxidermized, like dead and stuffed animals, like a dead bear that's been stuffed, a dead giraffe that's been stuffed. It basically looks like one of those churches that has a whole bunch of money to build like a really ridiculous Noah's Ark situation. You know, those bougie churches. So it basically looks like that. And he's like trying to get people to like buy tickets and come see it. And nobody is interested. and his daughters are like, maybe it should do something that's alive. And I don't ever see them financially benefit, like directly financially benefit from literally giving him the idea of the greatest show. But, you know, I mean, it's fine. I guess he put like a college fund away, or I guess that was the ballet classes. Spoiler alert, they get real ballet classes. Well, one gets tree classes. Moving on. So he on that note, then, like I said, there was something about a train. He has some investments, you know, they always got to have an investment that falls through, or a job or something that falls through, because you got to fall down before you get back up. You can't just be flying high in the sky. So that's the womp womp when everything falls apart. He tells his wife, he goes to the bank, and then he sees, you know, an interesting man. And this interesting man is, he is, like, I don't know the correct terminology for the disability that he has, but he's played by Sam Humphrey, who Aaron and I have actually met in real life. And he was super nice. He was super cool. In real life. And so we really loved getting to meet him and tell him what a huge fan we were of his and the whole movie. It was really great. Really great interaction. He was an awesome guy. So, yeah, so he sees Sam and, or he sees Thomas Thumb, I guess is the movie, that he, or the name that he plays in the movie. I got a little distracted because I wanted some lotion on my hands. And so that's what all the sound is in the background. I was reaching around and things of the sort. Anyways, so he sees this guy and he's like, whoa, he's interesting. And then he goes to his house and he says to his mom, he's like, hey, where's your son? And then the lady's like, I don't have a son. He's like, yeah, you do. Which is very, very invasive. I feel like this is a little inappropriate. You know what I mean? Like, your son, he's interesting. Like, I personally, I have Tourette syndrome. And I'm not sure how I would feel if someone saw me ticking. And it was like socially unacceptable to tick, which, and then like they came to my house and they were like, hey, where's your daughter? The one that ticks. And then my mom was like, I don't have a daughter, you know, to keep me safe. And then the person was like, no, I'm starting a circus and I want that Tourette's on front of the stage. I'm not sure how I would feel. At the same time, I'm glad that he's pushy because this movie would have been really lame if he wasn't. You know what I mean? It would have been like, no, sorry. But I will also say that there is also a scene where there's this woman who presumably has disabilities, and there's like an interaction that she and Wolverine have earlier on, and it really shows kind of his like sensitivity toward people who are different. And so I don't feel like people are people with disabilities or people with differences are I don't know, being like exposed or like used or whatever. I do think that he just honestly has a heart for the different, and but that gets kind of manipulated and abused. We're gonna talk about that in a minute. Y'all, I'm at 17 minutes. Oh my goodness. I need to hurry up. So, okay. So Wolverine, basically is like, you do have a son, you're gonna let me in this house. And he was just like talking to him, and he's just like, I'm gonna make you a star, blah, 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 blah. You know how they do. And so he becomes kind of like his first like star of the show. And then he puts up all these signs. He's like, I'm looking for different people. And then all these different people show up. And then in those different people, you get like this one guy that like weighs a lot. And he's like, you know, kind of ups the ante of like, you don't weigh this much, you weigh this much, to make it more appealing to the audience. He's got Zendaya and her brother. He's got a brother and sister duo played by Zendaya and her brother. They show up and it's like all these different people, because, you know, disabilities and blackness, same thing. So, hey, let's be real, though. The times were the times. Reality is reality. Really sad situation, but we're going to get to that, too. So they all show up. All these different people show up. And then he hears Keala Settle singing, and he tries to find her voice because he's like, oh, where's this voice coming from? So they go, and it's like, I think it's like a laundry mat, but instead of laundry boxes, wait, not laundry boxes, washing machines. Instead of washing machines, it's people. And they're all like doing laundry, or maybe they're sewing clothes. I don't know. It's a bunch of ladies. And he's like, who's doing that singing? And they were like, you can't be in here. It's ladies. They're like, you can't be in here. And then he pulls back the curtain and he sees Keala Settle and she's got a beard. And he's like, oh my goodness, you're so extraordinary. And he's like, or maybe he calls her beautiful. I can't remember. Everybody's like, what? She's not beautiful. And obviously she has a great voice. And so he brings her on. And then, you know, they start the show. They start the greatest show. And it's like, and I hate using this phrase, but for lack of better terms, it's like a freak show. But he's, and so that, I think that that's kind of the pool for a lot of people. It's like, oh, these weird people. But he's putting them in a light that's not abusing their what other people would call their weirdness, but he's highlighting their skill and their talent and their ability. And oh, they just so happen to be different in the eyes of the world. And that's actually a really cool thing. Again, as someone with a disability, I wasn't like hardcore offended by that. I mean, it's kind of weird, but at the same time, it's these were the times, right? Like, this is not a culture where everybody can hop onto mayoclinic.com or WebMD and realize that we're all weird. It's a culture and time where it's like, they're weird, we're not. And so it's a cool concept. I like it. And so they're, you know, they're doing all their songs. They're like, this is the greatest show. Everybody dancing, everybody running. Look at that man who's tall. And they're all dancing and stuff. Then there's this one critic that's like, it's not that cool. And so he's got some people saying it's not that great. Then somebody gets in a fight in the backyard or the alley. And they're like, yeah, we're tired of being seen as weird and all this stuff. And then Zac Efron shows up. And it's like, oh, he's all established. He does all these cool shows. And he's like, Zac Efron, give me your money. You've made all this money after being a celebrity from High School Musical. Cool. Invest in my company. And Zac Efron's like, are you kidding me? I just want to be a partner. I'm not going to just be an apprentice. And then they agree to give each other some money after they've had way too much alcohol and they've danced around and tap danced to the room, and not enough credit goes to the bartender. Like, that guy is a choreographer, is a dancer, is a performance, a performer. I don't know. He's something. He's cool. Not enough credit goes to that guy. Anyway, so Wolverine and Troy Bolton, they have this little dance, and then they agree 15, 8, 10. And then they agree to be best friends forever or partners, whatever. And then Wolverine's in his pride. He's still like, no, you're just an apprentice. And then eventually the queen invites them to go. And one of my favorite parts of the entire movie is like, they're like, oh my goodness, the queen lets us go. And then Zendaya's like, all of us, you mean the black people can go too? But she doesn't say that, but like, we know what she meant. And then I think Zac Efron's the one that's like, if we can't all go, then we're not going. Or I don't know who says that, but somebody's like, no racism up in this piece. So that happens. And then they go back to the movies. I mean, I didn't mean to say that. In my head, I was like, I was in the movies, and then it came out of my mouth. So then they go to see the queen. Is obviously not the real queen in real life. It is an actress who is playing the queen. And then what happens? Let me think. Oh, yeah. Then they see this really pretty redheaded lady. And Wolverine is like, oh, to the snap, who's that queen? Which I understand. Like, you see a really pretty person. Like, I think anybody watching this would be like, oh, she's so stunning. But, like, here's a little bit of, you know, what's the word? Foreshadowing. He thought she was a little too pretty, if you want to know what I think. He wasn't only looking with professional eyes. You need some prayer and deliverance. So he sees her and he's like, Zac Efron, what's up? And Zac is like, she is way too cool. Basically, Zac's like, she's too cool for us. And then Wolverine's like, no, she's not. Like, I want to talk to her. I want to meet her. And then Zac Efron's like, you don't even know who she is. But basically Wolverine, like, he's just kind of got like money in his eyes. And he's like, I don't even care. It's just the fact that she's a big deal that I want to go meet her. That is so realistic to the music industry, y'all, to the entertainment industry. It's sad. It's creepy. But that's not what this episode is about. Just stay prayed up if you're planning on entering. And so they go over there, talk to her, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I got a job for you, blah, blah, blah. And then he brings her to the U.S. and then she sings Never Enough, except she's not really singing Never Enough. It's an incredibly talented singer from The Voice. And oh my goodness, I am blanking on her name, and I totally follow her on Instagram. And I'm trying to buy myself some time by talking about her as I type it into Google. Lauren Allred. She's a real singer. I just wanted to give her a shout out. And I can't remember who the actress is that plays Never Enough, because I'm pretty sure she has the name of someone else. Yeah, Rebecca Ferguson, who's also the name of a black lady who's a singer. I just wanted to tell you guys that. Like, because I would get confused. I saw the casting. It was like Rebecca Ferguson. I was like, Becky's a sister. But then I was like, oh, there's two Beckys. So, okay. So Rebecca Ferguson, she's very talented. And then they go to the States, whatever. So then instead of it being like, you know, this big tent and all these quirky people performing, now Wolverine is producing this show where she sings Never Enough. And it is stunning. It is breathtaking. It is beautiful. Now, I didn't get to tell you guys, oh, there's so much to say. It's a little time. So in the like a little bit of like a like a B story, C story, D. I don't know how this works. I don't make movies, but I wish I did. Call me Ava. There's like this like other story. Oh, I hit my mic. There's this other story happening where Zendaya and Zach are getting the eyeballs for each other, and they kind of like each other a little bit, but you know, racism. And so she kind of like reaches for his hand, or he reaches for her hand. I can't really remember, but as they're watching the performance, they're holding hands. Then Zach catches the eye of his parents, who presumably and assumably disapprove. I think that at this point they had already kind of proven that they would disapprove, because there's like a moment. You got to watch the movie. This, trust me, this does not do it justice, as I'm sure you've guessed. So he pulls his hand away because he doesn't want to be seen. He doesn't want his parents to see him holding hands with a brown woman. About slapped him, and that deserves a slap in the face. That does. I understand the times were different. I get it, buddy. Like, it's not like it was in 2021 when you can just turn on a commercial and you're like, oh, look, a family modeling for Baby Gap. Look at the interracial love. I get it. It wasn't like that. But no, that deserved a slap in the face. And I get it that it was just your character, but I couldn't watch High School Musical for weeks, Zachary. And that's what you did to me. And I was upset. So anyways, so that happens. And Zendaya is like, really? So already in the group, we are feeling some animosity. People feeling like they're looked down on. It was also a smart idea to get Zendaya out of the room, because I think that one of the main goals with the next song that we're going to get was really to focus on Kiala and her role in this. And I think Kiala and Zendaya are both like incredible stars and female stars. And we all know we can't have more than like one female star in a moment. So we had to get Zendaya like kind of out of the picture a little bit so that this next song could really be Kiala's shining moment. And I both like understand that, and also kind of like makes me sad, because I feel like they would have done an incredible duet in that. But also I understand it, because I'm like, well, no, Kiala really needed that moment. And because of like Zendaya's kind of like already known career, we kind of had to be like, okay, Z, we need you to like go shake it up over there real quick and give her this moment, because we got Rewrite the Stars coming up later. So you'll both get a moment. Anyways, so after that performance, all of the cast of the Tent Circus show, they're like, that was awesome. And they want to go and celebrate. So they're on their way to go and talk to Wolverine and Jenny Lind in like kind of like, you know, the backstage area, which is this really bougie room off of the theater. Meanwhile, his in-laws are coming over there, and they're all judgy and they're all being weird. And he's borderline making his wife feel some type of way because he's like really invested in other stuff. And it's just like a weird dynamic. You're kind of starting to see everything that he's dreamt of and hoped for in his eyes, like the starry eyes are going off, but it's really falling apart in all of his other dynamics, including once everybody else shows up, he kind of pushes them out of the room, because honestly, it gets to the point where he realizes that they're too weird, and he can get way more acknowledgement and professional accolades and respect by having people like Jenny Lind perform instead of having these weirdos perform. Yo, I have felt like that before, like certain like producers or whatever, they were like, oh yeah, we like this weird quirky black girl because she has Tourette's and she has a story, so let's use her. But then like when someone like more normal or skinny or not as outspoken about racism or not as whatever comes along, I felt kind of pushed to the side. And that's just, it's hard, but you honestly just have to like, you can't get mad at Jenny Lind. You can't get mad at the song Never Enough. It's a great song. You have to kind of just like look at that person that has stars in their eyes and be like, maybe you are just doing things out of poor intentions, and you're not going to be the reason why I feel down about myself and why I don't feel confident about who I am, because this is me. And that's literally what they do. Kiala Sutle leads them in a celebratory, one of the most remarkable performances of ever. She leads them all outside and they are singing This Is Me, which is my favorite song from the film. And this remarkable, tears in my eyes, dancing joy. I mean, it is like, I'm getting emotional just talking about it, because it is one of the most remarkable moments of the movie. So that kind of goes into that. And they're like, this is me and this is who I am. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys, because this is my favorite moment of the movie. I do tend to kind of like, now I'm not going to say that I mentally check out for the rest, but that is to me just like the best moment. So I kind of have a hard time with like remembering in order, like what happens. Like, I'm just like, yeah, so that happens. But yeah, at some point, like, he just like kind of goes off the deep end with what's her face, with Jenny Lind. And that's all he cares about. He starts touring with her. He's not with his family as much anymore. His wife starts to feel neglected. And she has this beautiful song called Tightrope that is just, oh my gosh, it's just heartbreaking just hearing. I don't even know that Michelle Williams could sing. Another lady who there's also a black artist by the name of Michelle Williams. I just learned so many things about European Americans in this movie. I did not know that there were the same names of some black people that I know. I thought those were like pretty cool. It's confusing, but super cool. Anyways, I did not know that Michelle Williams could sing. Beautiful voice. Tightrope is so beautiful. So then, yeah, she sings that song. Oh, I'm looking at the soundtrack. Right before that song is Rewrite the Stars, which is where Zac Efron is like, look, I'm going to fix racism. Not when we're in front of my parents and I humiliated you and I could have, but now that I have seen how dumb that was, I want to help. I had a hard time with that personally because I mean, I'm like in a romantic context, I'm very happily married to a black guy. If it's not obvious, I am also black. So I've not experienced that in a romantic context. But I have experienced it in a friendship context, and I have experienced it in, dare I say, like a pre-romantic context or like a dating context of like when I was single, I'd be interested in someone like because I was black, it wasn't an option for like them and their parents. But never somebody that I was like actually in a relationship with. And so it just kind of Rewrite the Stars. Like, I love that song, but I'll be honest, it was hard for me the first couple of times because I was just like, I feel like Zendaya needs at least 5 or 10 more years to heal from what you just did. But it's a beautiful song, and now I really, really like it. And so my husband and I love to sing that song. He's a great singer, by the way. He's really like chill about that. Like, I don't know if he'll ever let me like post like a video of him singing or whatever, but and that's okay. I like when we get to sing that together because it's really fun. He's really cute, and I'm gonna get off topic. So that happens, and then like I said, Tightrope, because everybody is starting to feel the pain of like him being on the road. Long story short, there's a moment where he and Wolverine and Jenny Lind are on stage, and she's singing her song again, and like at the end of it, or right before that, I think she tries to like make a move on him or something, and he's just kind of like, whoa, 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 that's not what we're here for. And I think she's just, in a way, more or less, she's just like, look, we're here, why not, or what do you have me here for? Something kind of weird. And I think some people might see that and be like, oh, well, obviously he wasn't interested in her, she was just reading the signs wrong. But I think that because of the amount of time that he was spending away from his own family, and not saying that it's bad to tour, that's not what I'm saying, but because of the amount of time he was spending away from his family, the obvious disconnection that he's having with his family, and even some of the manipulation that he is kind of starting to present with, like, you know, the cast of his circus beforehand, of just like kind of using them to get something more, though every action that he's showing is showing that he's not a man of solid character, at least in this season of his life. So I don't think it was totally off for Jenny Lind to assume that just all bets are off. You know what I mean? There's so much more to unpack there, but that's just kind of my opinion. So he kind of pushes it off, and I guess she decides that she doesn't want to do the tour anymore. And so at the end of that show, when they were both on stage together, she goes in for a kiss. I just hit my head on my camera. I leaned back because I knew I was about to yell, and then I hit my camera. So she goes in for a kiss, and he is just like, whoa, 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 whoa. Again, a moment where someone, I'm not saying that someone should have been slapped, but a moment where I think that it might have been okay for at least a gentle push. You know, I struggle with, well, I don't know. I had a hard time in that moment because I was just like, he just didn't seem as bothered as I wish he would have seemed. I'm not going to unpack that right now. So there's that. At some point, there's a fire. I don't even remember when. I just remember that at some point there was a fire. Everybody was trying to get out. Everybody's trying to go back in there and get people. Nobody could go back there and get people. Everybody's stressing out. He goes back home. His wife sees the front of the paper. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. After she kissed him, she was like, that was goodbye. That wasn't no goodbye. I just messed up your whole life. Terrible. Okay. So there was that whole situation. There was a fire. I think Zac Efron goes back inside to save Zendaya. I thought that was nice. I feel like Rewrite the Stars maybe could have come after that. I don't know if he could sing as much, considering I'm not sure how much smoke he inhaled. I don't know, like, the state of his lungs. But I do wish that Rewrite the Stars would have been after the fire. But no, they wouldn't have had anything to swing around on. Just, you know, kind of like, hey, sorry I neglected you, but I just risked my life to save you. Like, that would have been cute. So there's that. So he saves her life. No, she saves his. No, some, I don't know, but she's fine. I think he went back in to get her and she was like over somewhere eating snacks. I can't remember. But he is up in a hospital bed. He's in a hospital bed. She goes to see him and they're cool. They're cool. So I think they kiss. I think they do kids. Yeah. I want to play that character, her character, in like a Broadway version of that. I feel like that'd be so much fun. But I'm just not interested in having, like, you know, touches and kisses with anybody but my husband. And so I really want my husband to play Zac Efron's role, but he's black. And like, I just wonder if they get, I just don't know what we could do about that. Like how we, you know what I mean? Like how we can manage to work that out. Yeah. So there's that. And then Wolverine's like, I can't do this anymore. And he's like really sad. One day he's sitting in a bar. Buddy, no, you should have been in a chapel praying to the Lord. But he's in a bar. That's the vibe. Then everybody shows up and everybody's like, we miss you. I think he apologized at one point. A lot of this reminds me of the movie Sing. Y'all know in the movie Sing where there's a fire and everybody's sitting in there and they're like, no. It reminded me of that part. Anyways, they do a song called From Now On. It's amazing. Amazing. So they do that song. It's a really cool performance. And they're like, we're going to be okay. Everything's going to be great. Because it's got to end on a good note. And then eventually they go back and they do the circus again. And they do the song, The Greatest Show. And halfway through the song, he's like, oh, I got to go see the musical. So he leaves and he passes the baton off to Zac Efron, which is awesome. And this is the part in the show, in the movie, where Zendaya has this shoulder shimmy that is everything. She has this, I think it's at the part where it's like, can't stop us. And then she has this background vocal where she's like, no. It's like, oh my gosh. Zendaya is so cool. Oh my gosh. So cool. So yes, that's just, I mean, it's a phenomenal performance. So he kind of passes the torch off to Zac Efron. And then Hugh Jackman goes to the musical, but not the musical you're thinking, or maybe it is. And then it's his kids. It's a ballet. And the one daughter that got the shoes is dancing. And he's sitting next to his wife. And they're watching it. And it's beautiful. And then you're like, where's the other daughter? She's in a tree. But not outside. She's on stage in a fake tree. Waving and smiling right next to her sister. And the greatest show is the family show. When you retire and your dreams become your home. And that's The Greatest Showman. Phenomenal film. Great movie. I love it so much. I could watch it 18,000 times. I feel really bad because I'm about to mess up a name very much because it's a very beautiful native name, but I don't know how to say it. But Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, he plays Zendaya's brother. I just wanted to say his name because, man, I don't want to do the brother like that. Just not even know what his name is. But yeah, that's a really cool name, bro. Yeah, so it's such a great movie. I've loved it so, so, so much. It's probably obvious my favorite song is This Is Me, but I also love Never Enough. I love the whole thing. There's a Greatest Showman, like a tribute thing, if you will. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like Pink, Kelly Clarkson, a bunch of other artists, they did like different versions of it, of all the songs. And on that, the best ones, I mean, Never Enough, y'all know how I feel about Kelly Clarkson. Never Enough is on there. A Million Dreams by Pink and her daughter. That is just stunning. The Greatest Show by, what is it? Is it Panic that does it? And then also Pentatonix. You gotta go listen to that. And then for the other side, is it Ty Dolla Sign and Max from YouTube? He's a YouTube guy. I'm a YouTube kid, 14 years strong. So I get excited about seeing YouTube kids making it big. That is just such a great partnering for the soundtrack. Perfect music to clean the house to. It is so good. So yeah, I love that movie. And if you love it too, I would love to hear your thoughts. I would love to hear if you thought that I was totally wrong about something. Please tweet me or hit me up on Instagram at JamieGraceH, and I will, appropriately tell you how wrong you are, because I know what I'm talking about. And I would also love to hear if we feel like we agree on something. If you're like, yeah, Jamie, that made sense. I would love to hear from you guys, because it's so much fun. The craziest place where we can always hit it up and chat, like I mentioned earlier, is on Patreon, patreon.com/JamieGrace. It's so much fun there. But honestly, all across social media, I really love talking to you guys, and I have a whole lot of fun with that. So thank you guys so much for engaging me in convo and spending your Saturday with me. Usually I try to keep these movie recaps to like 20 or 30 minutes, but sometimes it's just so hard when it's a movie that I love so much like this. So I appreciate you guys for sticking around and listening to all of this. And I hope that you have the best Saturday of your entire life. And if you're listening to this on a not Saturday, well, that's your problem. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm totally joking. Thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, would you please consider giving me a review? If it's a 5-star review, that's what I prefer, but I technically can't tell you what to do. So if you want to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that would be awesome. And if you're listening to Spotify, please click share, Instagram stories, and tag me on Instagram so that I can repost it. And thank you for listening. You guys are wonderful humans, and I hope you have a great day. Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Jamie Grace podcast. Honestly, it means the world to me. In case you don't know, I'm an independent artist and a producer out here in Arizona, where all the cool kids are. And what I do would not be possible without my Patreon community. So hit me up at patreon.com/JamieGrace, where you can get behind the scenes of all my new music, bonus episodes of the podcast, and we even have movie nights where we connect with nostalgia by way of High School Musical, The Brave Little Toaster, and so much more. So hit me up at patreon.com/JamieGrace. And of course, find me on Insta at JamieGraceH.